Unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in what? In vain, right? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? If he's building it, it will endure. Hallelujah. So Lord, help us to get out of your way. And just wherever you want us to serve, Lord, we're open to that. We're available. And we have the privilege of serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for your Holy Spirit, your Holy Presence here, Lord God. God, we need to hear from you. Lord, so I pray that you would grant me utterance to speak today, that you'd speak through me, that you'd reach through me today and through each one of us, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you and say, Lord, rule over us. We want you to rule over us. We want you to be Lord of our lives, Lord. You're our creator, Lord, and you know the product better than the product knows itself. And so we ask you, Lord, to do that work in our hearts of transformation, renewing of the minds and a restoration of our souls, Lord. In a healing of our land. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that most of us, to some degree, are grieved about what we're seeing happening in our nation. Well, we have to remember who's really in charge, who's on the throne. And, you know, God has always worked through people who were willing to yield and allow him to work through them to accomplish his mission on the earth, his purposes. And so it is our responsibility as the Church of Jesus Christ to partner with the Holy Spirit daily. Amen. And be the salt and be the light, be the influencers in our world where we live, our circle of influence. And it really starts with you. It starts with me. Amen. And from there, God builds and God works and the kingdom is advanced. Hallelujah. We're good at doing events and having special things, and we talk about having revival. Now, I think that it's important that we live in revival, that we walk in revival, that we don't have to wait until Friday, amen, to be in revival, amen. But we just continue in, all right, revival, because revival really means to return to life, right? Revive, right? Return to him who is life. When we return to him, then we are revived again. Hallelujah. So the title of today's message is Returning to America's God. And as we're celebrating the 4th of July coming up, it's really a celebration of freedom, isn't it? Blessed, Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. So let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Those who trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. They will not be disappointed. The Lord is actually with us and the Lord is for his people. And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to rely upon him. He wants us to learn of him. And he wants us to be led of his spirit. We have freedom today because others were willing to pay the price, to give their all. We need to remember once again that what freedom isn't free, right? Somebody was willing to give their all that we might have and enjoy the freedoms we have today. So our freedom, our spiritual freedom in Christ came at the highest cost. The Lord gave his all for us. He paid the price that we deserve to pay. He was brutally crucified. God the Father had laid upon him the sins of us all, for all of us have sinned and fallen short. But God in his mercy sent his son Jesus to die a horrible death, to bear the sins of the world, that we, you and I, through him might receive eternal life. that we might receive forgiveness of our sins. And that not only will we receive forgiveness of sins, but we will be set free from the power of sin, amen, in our lives. So we can also walk in victory. But our victory is something that we must maintain, that we must guard carefully, amen. And we do that by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And by His help, we're able to overcome, amen, and maintain our freedom. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Freedom is worth fighting for. You and I are engaged in a battle, whether we realize it or not. We're engaged in the battle for the freedom of our nation, but also the freedom of our soul that we have to guard against. Amen. All the wiles of the enemy, all the schemings of the enemy. Our great nation, this nation, regardless of what the media tells you and maybe some of the rewritten history books are trying to tell you, we were founded on Judeo-Christian ethics. And they're found throughout the Bible. Our faith and our covenant, amen, our covenant is built upon the Word of God, which endures forever. We had forefathers that had entered into covenant with God Almighty over this nation. And how many know that a covenant or an agreement or even an oath is binding? And aren't you glad that God is a promise keeper? We've all made vows. We've all made resolutions that we haven't kept. But God always keeps His word. God always is faithful. God will always do what He promised to do. God doesn't move, we move. God doesn't change, we change. Amen. But we need to return to the one who doesn't change, who is ever faithful, who does not lie. Every word that He speaks is true. And you shall know what is authentic, what is real, and you shall be set free from every lie and every deception of the enemy. Christopher Columbus, I'm going to give a little bit of a history rundown here. In 1504, wrote his reason for setting forth to discover the new land. Listen to what Christopher Columbus said. I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands. Now we know when the pilgrims arrived at Plymouth, they formed what is called the Mayflower Compact in 1620. And these are the words of the Mayflower Compact. Listen, quote, in the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together. So again, our forefathers made a covenant with God when they arrived on this soil. And it was 23 years later that the Puritans formed what's called the New England Confederation. And this was really the first written constitution by people who were meeting together in 1643. And it says something like this, whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel and purity and peace. So again, it's clear that America was founded by men and women who acknowledged God's supreme rule over their lives. The Puritans came to America for the purpose of showing how a nation could prosper living under the rule of God. The Delaware chapter defines the purpose of their colony, quote, to further spread the holy gospel. The Virginia Charter assured the right of each people to live in Christian peace and instructed them to, quote, spread Christian religion to such people who yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. The Rhode Island Compact, quote, we submit our persons, lives, estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even George Washington, his personal prayer book, consider these words, O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Again, George Washington. John Quincy Adams, who would become the sixth president, said this in 1821 about the Declaration of Independence. Quote, from the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they all acknowledge as the root of their conduct. We all come together to obey the word of God. Patrick Henry, quote, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. Benjamin Franklin said, as they were debating about how the Declaration of Independence would be written, he stood and said this, gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek his face. And after he said this, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence did what? They fell to their knees. That's right. They prayed. They began to pray and seek the wisdom of God. And out of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 53 of them were Christians. We are a Christian nation. In 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. The framers of our nation got the idea of three branches of government from the Bible, the Word of God. And we see that in Isaiah 33:22. In our government, we have a judicial branch, a legislative branch, and an executive branch. Isaiah 33:22 says, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. He will save us. So do you see the three branches, the judiciary, the judge, the legislative branch, the lawgiver, and the executive branch, the king. So our forefathers use this word right here, amen, the Bible, the word of God, to frame our Constitution in this nation. Hallelujah. Did you know that even Christian pastors played a tremendous role in America in the early days? A pastor named Francis Bellamy wrote our Pledge of Allegiance. Samuel Smith wrote the hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Pastor John Leland wrote the introduction of the First Amendment to the Constitution. And prior to the Civil War, 90% of all Americans, America's college presidents, were preachers of the gospel. 90% of the college presidents were preachers of the gospel. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William, Mary, and Columbia were founded by Christian preachers and church affiliations with the express intent to educate youth for Christ. How many know that America's first school book was called the New England Primer? It has the Lord's Prayer on its cover, and it taught the alphabet in theological verse. A, it says, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, it's heaven defined the Bible's mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. So we see the influence of God upon our nation's founding fathers is so evident. Any reasonable person cannot deny it. And of course, they weren't perfect. Anytime you get people together, there are going to be problems. Amen? How many perfect people aren't here this morning? Okay, I rest my case, right? But they all acknowledged that God was the supreme ruler over man and over our government. How far we've drifted. But God. But God. But God can change things. Hallelujah. But God is waiting, I believe, for his church to get back to where it belongs in right standing with him, to get back to the word of God and back to prayer and back to assembling together. Come on, somebody. How many know that God wants people in church? Oh, I know there's some super spiritual people out there that don't need church, but God wants us together. He wants us gathering. Amen. There's a special grace, a special blessing that comes when we come together and our hearts are in the right place. Amen. And the Lord is there in our midst, and he's the main attraction. He's the center of it all. Our Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. So guess what? America was not founded to worship just any God. I know some people think, well, any religion is fine. No, this is not how this nation was formed. But on the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. And the reason they came is to get out from under the oppression of religious people that did not have the spirit, that were trying to control and rule them, and the tyranny of England, to come over here to have freedom of worship, freedom of speech. And we're in a fight right now for that, aren't we? Blessed is the nation, Psalms 33:12, whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Guys, I'm not one of those that want to kick America under the bus and just say, oh, it's too far gone. Just forget it. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. Or we're just going to sit around and wait for the rapture to occur. Amen. How many know that God has strategically placed you here on this planet for such a time as this? To be salt and to light and to be influencers. Amen. In your circle of influence, in your homes, in your families, in your schools, wherever you find yourself, God has placed you there. Amen. To be light and to be salt. Our nation, our hope is in returning to the God of our forefathers. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And again, I believe God is waiting on you and I, his people, to awaken out of sleep. You know, while we were asleep, the enemy's been very busy sowing his seeds. And one day we wake up and say, how did all this happen? Well, it's time to stay awake, amen, stay alert. And it's time to go to war. And that God has called us to partner with him in his mission on the earth, amen, to be salt and to be light and to be influencers and to come together in agreement to cry out to God Almighty, amen, for his divine intervention in the earth realm and in America. God wants to move in America, and I believe God is already beginning to move in America. There are good things that are in motion, amen, but you and I as God's people need to keep, amen, our hand to the plow and don't look back. We need to keep the positive momentum, amen, in the Holy Spirit, because God is shaking things up right now. Everything's going to be shaken, amen. But that which cannot be shaken will remain. And you and I are unshakable in Jesus Christ, because he is the firm foundation of our lives. He's the one that will keep us. He's the one that will hold us together. Hallelujah. And through it all, we will learn the faithfulness of our God. And we'll rejoice in that day when we see all that we have sown, that we have given, amen, in prayer, intercession, and action, come to fruition. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting, because I know my God is able. My God is bigger. Amen. He is God of the nations. He rules on high, but he waits for those who are called by his name to humble themselves. You know this, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and pray and do what? Seek his face. And what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Amen. Forgive their sin and heal their land. How many want God to heal and to restore? It's up to us to get back into alignment. Amen. With the will of God. We need to seriously return to the Lord. We need to cry out for an awakening, for a revival. I pray God revive your church and awaken America. Amen. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, I think of Samson had to shake himself. Amen. Sometimes, guys, you just need to shake yourself out of your apathy and out of your complacency and say, I need to pray. Amen. If the Spirit of God is moving me to pray, I need to respond. Amen. And say, now is the time. It's time to put away the toys. Amen. Because our nation is in the balance and God is calling you and I to partner with Him, that heaven and earth will come together in this great nation. And for the sake of the harvest, for the sake of the lost, America has been that golden cup in the hand of the Lord. America has been such an influence of the gospel, sending missionaries throughout all the earth. Hallelujah. Because we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles and God has called us, amen, back to our covenant that was made by our forefathers. And we pray that God will give us boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand and not compromise anymore. Amen. With evil. Our hope is in returning. You know, it used to be, even when I was younger, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Some of you are older than that. But even in that time frame, I've seen so many changes take place in America, and so have you. But even there was a time when most Americans, at least they lived by Christian principles, even if they weren't Christians, because there was such influence by the church in America. You know, according to one statistic, many more Muslims attend prayer meeting on Friday than Christians go to church on Sunday. That should never be. As American Christians, we need to rise up and we need to storm heaven. Our petitions for our nation. God has been intervening throughout history. You've seen that, how God moved so powerfully in the Revolutionary War at Valley Forge, and even with our men at Normandy, because we were a praying people, we were a praying nation. We were relying upon God, amen. Some men trust in horses and chariots, but we'd rely upon what? We trust in the name of the Lord our God, hallelujah. Because our military guys is not going to save us. Only God can save America now. And God can use the military, but we need a military that's crying out to God as well. Amen. Not trusting in our own technologies. How many have realized that our technologies have not been flawless? They've been penetrated and things have happened. There's been great compromises, even in cybersecurity. And a lot of times it's because just people didn't know better. And other times it's because it was intentional. But God is bigger than man, and God is able to turn things around, to change things. Amen. And I believe that God is going to give us more time. I believe that God is intervening, but we must continue to stay awake. Amen. And vigilant in prayer. Hallelujah. In obedience to the will of God for our lives. It begins with you as an individual. It begins with me as an individual. Amen. Being faithful to my God. Be an example to others. Amen. Living my life in such a manner that people cannot accuse me of wrongdoing. Because we're representing the honor of our God, of our Father. James 4:8 in the New Living Translation says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. This has been the problem in America. We all wanted to go back to the normal. God, bring us back to the normal, the way things used to be. That was the problem. Our normal was killing us spiritually. We were being choked by the cares and the riches of this world in America. You know, God will do what He needs to do to get a hold of us. Amen. To wake us up and realize that there are greater priorities than just living for this temporary world. And that is His kingdom purposes. We were called and separated that we might serve the King. Amen. That we might be an ambassador, a representative of God in this world. Hallelujah. Every one of us that names the name of Jesus should depart from evil. Amen. And every one of us that have been born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Have been called to the mission of advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. Hallelujah. And God wants to influence even the nations, even the politics of the nations. Amen. By His Spirit. And it takes you and I coming together in agreement with the will of God. Hallelujah. For that to happen. It says in verse 9, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. That's what God wants to do. He wants to honor you. He wants to lift you up in honor. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. But he doesn't want you to make a god out of the blessing. He wants you to look past the blessing to the giver of the blessing. Amen. And know the heart of the one that loved you so much that he gave his son for you. Jesus died because he loved us that much, because we couldn't save ourselves. And our own goodness is never going to be good enough. We need the mercy, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Christ is there hope. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. He's the way. President Woodrow Wilson said this, "A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today." They're trying to rewrite history, aren't they? They're trying to keep you from knowing the truth about the founding of this nation and the covenants that were made by our forefathers with Almighty God. You know, Jesus never told us to retreat and hide from the world, but he said to overcome it. Subdue it. Amen. Matthew 10:16, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." Yes, we need to rely upon the ability that God supplies us by his Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit and the Word, amen, in order to be able to overcome the world. Daniel Webster said this, "God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. We are not to conform to our culture, but we are to become agents of change in our culture." You understand? That's been the problem. We've been conforming to the culture. But you and I are salt and light. We are the influencers. Amen. In Christ's name. And we are to go and influence the nation. Amen. As we go and represent the Lord. Hallelujah. As we bring heaven to earth. God wants to work through your life, my life. Amen. And make a change, make a difference. We are to be those agents of change that God uses. What happens in America affects all of us. What happens in our government affects all of us. We can either shrink back into passivity or take a stand against the evil of our time. Our God is mighty to save. Our God is mighty to save. Wake up. God wants his people awake. Hallelujah. We should be gluttons for the presence of the Lord. Amen. We should be hungry. We should be wanting everything that God has to fill our lives with Jesus. Amen. To make us strong in the Lord so we can have confident assurance, a boldness and a supernatural faith to rise above everything that's happening around us. Though people are falling to the left and to the right, we can stand strong in our God because our God is with us and our God is for us. And our God will never leave us nor forsake us. He is faithful. Hallelujah. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to abide. We need to continue. Amen. In the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy is trying to lull the church back to sleep. When things begin to get comfortable again, all of a sudden he said, you don't need to pray like you used to. You don't need to be in the Word like you used to. You don't need to be in church like you used to. You're doing pretty good. You're a pretty strong Christian, you know. Church is only for weak Christians. There's people that believe that. They're so spiritual. Self-appointed prophets. Parking lot prophets. Bathroom prophets. Grandma's basement prophets. Back of their van power prophets. How many know God can use any one of us? Amen. But we're not going to be of much use, amen, if we're not gathering, if we're not being connected, amen, to the community of faith, the people of God, the church. God's design is to put us together in a family, amen, that we may serve and work together, that we might be mutually edified and built up according to each one as receiving the gift of God, the grace of God. We minister to one another. God wants us to build. He wants us all to be involved in the building up of his body. Somebody say amen. If you don't, I'll say amen. I do that a lot anyways. You know, it's no time to shrink back. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Yeah? Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ. He is the strength of my life. I can do what God told me to do. All I need to do is say yes. Somebody recently came up to me and said, you know what, I just was given this opportunity. I was offered this opportunity, and I just don't know if I'm qualified for that or if I can do that. Well, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Amen. God's going to provide for you in that if that's what he's called you to do. If it's bigger than you are, it's probably God anyways. Yeah. Right? Because God's will is bigger than we are. As a matter of fact, the prophet's mantle was always an oversized garment, wasn't it? Right? It was an oversized garment because your calling is bigger than you are. And you have to fill up that calling. You have to grow into it, if you will. So, yeah, I feel that way sometimes. I get challenged with things. I've got to do something. And I'm like, oh, man. Can I just be honest with you for a change? Yeah. I don't know why we say that. Can I just be honest with you? You mean you weren't honest before? Right? I don't like doing funerals. Or weddings. I'm sorry, guys. Anybody getting married recently? Or I'm saying that because it's not something that I feel comfortable doing. Hear me out. It's not something I feel comfortable doing. But if God calls me to it, he will provide the grace for me to do it. And the same thing is with each one of us here. God will grace you with whatever you need to do the job he's called you to do. And usually because it will be something that you're really not necessarily even comfortable doing, but you know God has put that in your heart to do. And I have found that the Lord is faithful. And he said, wherever I am, there my servant will be also. So the best place to be is where Jesus is and doing what Jesus has called you to do. Hallelujah. And being who he's called you to be. Now, let me just say this. It's a mistake to separate our Christianity from politics. Because politics affect everything, including our freedom of religion. So if we have this idea that it doesn't matter, I'll just let somebody else handle the politics, well, they're doing quite a job at it, aren't they? Because too many Christians have been passive about this. I'm not a politician. But I can be involved to the degree that God has called me to be involved, and I can make a difference. Amen. I can at least get out and vote. Somebody say amen. Amen. I think the enemy wants us to be just in our nice little church box over there and be just do your little thing and stay out of politics. Let me handle this, because he knows that if he gets control of things, then he can just shut you down anyways. At least attempt to. Christianity is supposed to influence the politics, not the other way around. We are supposed to be the influencers in the political system because we are a Christian nation and because this nation has entered into covenant with Almighty God. And God has a specific, even a special purpose for America, to the nations. And that was the purpose. They came and they established these covenants to propagate, to get the word of the gospel out to the four corners of the earth. Amen. And so we begin with our Jerusalem. We begin with where we live in our homes. Come on, somebody. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to raise your children in the Lord. Amen. If you're a Christian parent, God has given you that child. Amen. To raise in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Here's some examples of prophets that were facing off with politicians. People say, well, we're not supposed to be involved in politics. Well, take a look. What does the Bible say? Moses petitioned Pharaoh, didn't he? For the liberty of God's people. Nathan confronted King David for his sinful actions, right? Elijah, when he faced off King Ahab, who had promoted idolatry and immorality. Isaiah condemned moral decay in the culture. Daniel pronounced judgment on King Nebuchadnezzar for promoting idolatry. John the Baptist pointed out the adultery of King Herod. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." As believers, we are to now rise up in partnership with our Lord Jesus Christ and storm heaven on behalf of our families, amen, and our nation. Our nation needs God's people to rise up in this hour. Are you hearing me, somebody? And let's storm heaven, hallelujah, because that's our hope. Our hope is only in Christ alone that will return. But listen, before Jesus left, he said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." He says, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Amen. "And you shall be my witnesses." That is what we're called. Amen. To be receptacles for God. To be vessels for God. Amen. To receive the anointing of God. Amen. So that we might be effective and change. Amen. In this nation. And so as the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." His desire is that his Spirit would be upon you. His Spirit would be upon me. And that he would use us to preach the gospel to the poor. He'll send us out to heal the brokenhearted. He'll send us out to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Did you know the Lord wants you and I to partner with him in doing these very same things? You see, our gospel is not in word only, but in power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've got the power. In the name of Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalms 33:18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you." Let's say that together. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let your mercy be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. One more time. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you lift your hands and give praise to him? Thank you, Jesus. Just give thanks to the Lord for his goodness this day, that you be able to hear these things. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth and the truth that keeps us free. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance. What is repentance? It means I've changed my mind. I've changed direction. I was going in the wrong direction. Now I'm going in the right direction. I was living for the devil. Now I'm living for Jesus. It's time for you to decide this day. Choose who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. For I know that there is hope for those who fear the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a hope and a future for those who fear the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you and we worship you and we honor you, God of our fathers, Most High God, El Elyon, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, let it be known today in us that you are God. Hallelujah. Shatter our indifference. Break every stronghold. Free every captive. Open blind eyes and deaf ears. Heal and deliver every captive in Jesus' name. Break every yoke of the oppressor. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every unclean spirit. And we command you to leave this place now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray right now that you extend your mercy, your hand of grace upon us, Lord God, as we are here gathered in your name. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord.